Primetime Sports is brought to you by Bodog.net. Join Bodog today.
Before you decide where you stand on a sports issue, let Bob weigh in. He's got a pretty heavy opinion. Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, the radio program begins for this Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012. Greetings and salutations to y'all. It's Bob McCown in the captain's chair. Soccer on Sportsnet 1 for the next hour. Oh, exciting. And so we'll open the phone lines up to you. Haven't done this for a little while. I'm very excited. Opportunity to talk to you. Get your take on what's been going on the last while in the world of sport. I suspect the John Farrell story should be fairly high on your list of priorities for discussion. But, as always, we leave it up to you, anything you want to talk about. Here are the phone numbers to get in touch, 870-590 if you are a resident of Toronto or passing through. Toll-free across the country, around the world, up your street, 1-888-666-0590. And if you have a cellular device, you may press star 590 and it will instantly connect you. Well, as instantly as we can pick up the phones. So those are the numbers for you to call. We remind you, if you do get a line to ring, let it ring. We'll get to you as soon as we can. If it's busy, just hang up and try again. Later in the program, our friend Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe will get his take on John Farrell and his departure to the Boston Red Sox as Farrell turns traitor and treks out of Toronto with his tail between his legs. Jerry Sullivan, the Boston News, will Buffalo News will join us. A 72,000 seat stadium with a retractable roof in Buffalo. Yeah, good luck. Nick Kyprios will wander in here. A conference call scheduled today amongst the players. Is that it? Fear. Well, is addressing the players on a conference call? Is that what's happening this afternoon at 5 o'clock? And Kyprios is, of course, will be monitoring that because we have a secret connection. So Kipper will have the mute button pushed and just will be listening in, and then we'll report all to us. And then there's a new documentary out from HBO called The Last Gladiators. The documentary outlines the life of Chris Nyland during and after hockey. A noted NHL enforcer, Chris Nyland, will join us in studio to talk about his life in hockey and the documentary. Is there anybody I missed? I think that's everybody. Bob Ryan, Jerry Sullivan, Nick Kyprios, Chris Nyland, all coming up on the program. Damian Cox will be in here as well. Meanwhile, your phone calls, away we go. John in Toronto, hello.
Hi. I'm amazed at the coverage about how Farrell is being turned into this villain. It's just asking why Americans don't want to work here. And no one wants to get into sort of the bizarreness of being in a city where the only sport that matters is hockey. And that there's so much anti-American news in the news. And if you're you have kids, who wants to bring them here?
I'm an American. I'm here. I don't see any of what you're seeing. I frankly don't get it. I think you're 100% wrong. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think Canadians are polite when it comes to Americans, are understanding, respectful. I think we have a knowledge base of American society, the political system, and the successes and failures that exist within America. I get that it's a tremendous hardship for a bunch of jocks to not be able to get ESPN. And I can understand why you wouldn't want to move to a beautiful city that is safe and inviting, multicultural, great attractions, great restaurants. I understand why you wouldn't want to move to a city like that, because you can't get, if you can't get ESPN, because that is, of course, at the core of all being. In essence, I couldn't possibly believe you to be more wrong. To Clifton in Etobicoke, hello.
Mr. McCown.
Hi.
Here's the one thing that has frustrated me since yesterday. Is
that long, huh?
Alex Antopoulos. I think this guy is damaging his credibility and reputation in trying to protect Farrell. Because as far as I see it, Farrell checked out of this place the day after Frank Conner was fired in Boston. But here's what I'm hoping. That Alex is going to use this as motivation, sir, to put together a team that is going to kill Mr. Farrell's dream.
It's all very nice words, but I don't know how much meat is on that bone. I think Alex Anthopoulos had some role in the decision with Farrell, but as he told us last night and made it quite clear, he was basically ordered to do a deal with the Boston Red Sox. The agreement was at a level above him. It was between the owner of the and president of the Boston Red Sox and Paul Beeston. That was the level at which an agreement was reached. It was then left for Anthopoulos, based on his characterization, to execute the transaction. It did not sound to me, based on what Alex said last night, that this was his decision, or conversely, that he necessarily would have made this decision or conducted himself in this way. I think the mere fact that he vocalized the reality of how the transaction came to be suggests that he was not in total agreement with it. Now, what would Alex Anthopoulos have done if left to his own opinion, beliefs, and execution? No idea. Excuse me. Would he have gone through with the deal? Would he have, as I suggested, taken some level of vengeance, refusing the Boston Red Sox the opportunity to even talk to Farrell? And remember, it was a year ago that the Red Sox asked permission to talk to Farrell after before Bobby Valentine was hired. And the Blue Jays at that point made a change, a philosophical change. Previously, their stance was that they would indeed allow their personnel to talk to other clubs. They decided that they no longer would do that. They made an announcement to that effect. And then 1 year later, turn around and bend over backwards to allow John Farrell to take his quote-unquote dream job. I would have told the Boston Red Sox no. As soon as they hired a new manager, I would have fired Farrell and let him float in the wind for a year. Made the point last week. I made it yesterday with Anthopoulos. I make it again today. That's how I would have handled the deal. Why? Because what you got in return was negligible. I understand that this guy's a half-assed decent ball player and maybe of some use to the Toronto Blue Jays. But guys like him maybe aren't a dime a dozen, but they're a dollar a dozen. They're out there. There's plenty of them. The return the Blue Jays got was ceremonial at best. Nothing tangible, in my opinion. You don't let a manager go if he's the manager of the future. So, in essence, while they won't acknowledge it, they'd already made the decision that John Farrell wasn't going to be their manager long term. They'd already made that decision. I asked if he contemplated giving Farrell a contract extension, and he said no. They weren't prepared to do that because they didn't know what they had. That they didn't know what they had is akin to saying, Farrell had one more year to prove himself. And his failure to do that was going to result in his dismissal anyway. So in their mind, they can say, well, we didn't really give up very much because we don't think much of John Farrell as a manager. But what they did is they proved themselves to be what we more than anything else hate in this city. And that is not being treated as a big-time entity, a major North American city, the fourth largest city on this continent, a city that is in all the major professional sports, save the National Football League, and is worthy of being in that company. And now, on face value, we are reduced, at least for the moment, to being a stopover on the way to someplace else. And that happened because the Toronto Blue Jays allowed it to happen. It didn't happen extraneous of their impact. It happened because they let it happen. And that, more than anything else, as a lifelong resident of this town, drives me crazy. Sean Hamilton, hello.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, nice guys finish last. The Jays are nice guys. They're going to finish last. Farrell's a douche, and he went to and did his press conference today and basically threw Anthopoulos and the club under the bus. And you know what? The Jays deserve it. As for a new manager, they got to get someone with experience. Get Guillen. He'll light a fire under the
players' funny asses. Funny you mentioned that because we were talking about that just minutes before the show started. There's no chance they're going to bring Guillen in here.
I would love it. And also,
well, I would too because he's a complete nutcase.
Yeah.
And we all love nutcases.
He can come here and talk about Castro all he wants. We don't care.
Yeah, he can get a direct flight from here to Havana.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
y'all
will come up and watch the game.
Yeah. That is so far off the Blue Jays radar. They would never take a chance like that. I mean, I'd love it. You'd love it. Whether it'd be any good for the club or not, who the hell knows? Look, if you've listened to this program, you know my opinion on managers. They're like pretty girls. You wait 5 minutes as another one comes down the street. They're all the same. I mean, I don't even know if I sometimes get caught up talking about, you know, who would you consider to be the great managers of all time? And I get caught up in that discussion. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think there is such a thing. I don't think managing a Major League Baseball team is anything more than being a highly paid babysitter. And we like to think of strategic moves as being important. Let me tell you something. 99% of the moves that a manager makes during the course of the game and during the course of the season are moves that are obvious, that any schlub that's watched baseball for more than 15 minutes could make that same kind of decision. It's not shocking. You know, you got a right-handed pitcher, you want a pinch hit, you bring in a left-handed hitter. Duh. You have X number of guys in the bullpen. They all have a role. If it's the sixth inning, this guy comes in. If it's the eighth inning, this guy comes in. And then when we want to close out the game, we bring this guy in. If we're losing going to the ninth inning, we don't bring in our closer. If we're tied, well, then you got a bit of a decision to make. But the decisions that are made by baseball managers, it's not nuclear science, people. It's basic fundamentals. And I said on a thousand occasions, in my opinion, managers don't win you games. They might lose you a few, but they don't win you games. So bringing Ozzie Guillen in here, that'd be a hoot. I'd like that. Steve, hello, you're on the Fan.
How you doing?
Swell.
Not that it matters too much because John Farrell, you know, was the coach of the Jays for one of the worst seasons in my Blue Jay memory. But either way, the comment you just made, I heard Greg Zahn say it yesterday. I mean, the Jays look like the laughing stock of the league. Not only did they have a terrible season, but
just let their manager go, you know, go to the Red Sox for nothing in the same division. And like you said, they should have let the Red Sox hire their manager for the year and then fire John Farrell.
So let me let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I'm going to throw something at you because we haven't really discussed this.
Yeah.
How would you have felt if the Blue Jays said, we have traded John Farrell to the Boston Red Sox because we didn't want John Farrell as our manager anymore. We were going to fire him anyway.
Still, I mean, you got to
I see, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. But, I mean, you got to put your foot down, you know, as the owner of a club or an owner of any business. And if your employees are sitting there trying to push you around, I mean, you got to put your foot down and say, okay,
listen, God, go, yes.
Now go find yourself a job. Now go see who wants you. Now the Red Sox have their manager. We don't have a manager, but you know what? We'll go find somebody. But now you're the one sitting on the line looking for a job.
Exactly.
And not only that, I mean, I can't comment on Mike Aviles because I don't really know too much about him.
Nobody does. Yeah.
That's not really the Blue Jays didn't fill any gaps at all in their lineup. I mean, they could have used pitching, obviously. They could have used potentially, you know, an outfield bat. And what did they get? Another middle infielder.
Yeah.
I mean, for the past four or five seasons, the Jays stock up on these middle infielders like, you know, they're going out of style.
Well, here's what they got. They got a middle infielder who doesn't hit much and strikes out a lot.
Yeah, perfect.
Great.
Take care.
Thanks. Who'll be replacing a guy who doesn't hit a lot and strikes out a lot. Really? And, oh, by the way, he's about $4 million a year cheaper. And to you and I, that means nothing. Because we don't care what they get paid. Because we're not paying them. And now they're going to spend, oh, yes, but now we have $4 million more to go spend on somebody else. Well, what are you going to get for $4 million? You know, either you're in this thing or you're not in this thing. You know, either you're trying to win or you're not trying to win. Don't give me the nickels and dimes thing. We saved a nickel. We're going to spend four pennies of that. And then we're going to put the other penny in our pocket. Because that's what happens. And they're never held accountable for all this money saving that goes on. It's frustrating. Doug and Chris, Jason, Jake, Andy, Angelo, and a whole bunch of others will be coming up when Primetime continues. This is The Fan, Toronto.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And, like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today. Sportsnet tonight. Tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
We want Ozzie Guillen. The campaign begins. Ozzie for manager. Don't care if he can manage. Don't care if he loses his mind. Can get a direct flight to Havana. Excellent. And man, would we have fun. Ooh. Can't hit it straight. Can't catch it. But our manager's a kick-ass. I like this. The more I think about it, the more I like it. No more dull managers. No more pedantic talk. No more baseball gobbledygook. Let's get a real nutcase in here. And who's nuttier than Ozzie Guillen? Nobody, to quote the phrase. I like it. Jason, Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Swell.
Yeah, I'm just disgusted. I mean, I watched a press conference today with John Farrell, and you know what? I don't blame him for wanting to leave. If there's one person I have to lay the blame on, it's Alex Anthopoulos. And you know what? My reasons for it is because as of last year, you know, when the Red Sox fired Terry Francona, and then they asked permission you know, to basically they knew they wanted John Farrell. Anthopoulos knew they wanted John Farrell. And, you know, he put the Jays in a bad situation because by declining it and then changing policy now about lateral moves, you know, it let everybody know that John Farrell wanted to leave. And then you put him into a situation now where he enters a season with his players knowing that he wants to, he doesn't even want to be there.
I sign a contract with the fan. I've got a year left on that contract. I decide I want to go to another radio station. Should I be allowed to go simply because I want to go?
Most definitely not. But also, you have to take into account now that by knowing that you don't want to be there, your productivity is going to drop. And I mean, how do you respond to that?
Keeping them. You don't want to listen to me. Cut him off. I don't mind having a conversation, but you can't. It can't be one way. That's all nonsense that he's talking about. Andy, hello.
Hi, Bob. Do I care if Mr. Farrell is still the manager in Toronto? Absolutely not. But what, and I think the root cause, and I think a lot of people are getting this, the problem is now we're back to the same old ways of this organization. I'm not talking about the distant past, but the J.P. Ricciardi, the inefficiency, the lack of upfrontness with everything going on. It's like rot in this organization. And I thought your friend Beeston was going to fix this sort of stuff.
Well, I think the organization has made two fundamental and I believe critical mistakes in the last few months. One was Escobar. The other was the handling of Farrell. In my opinion, and that's all this is worth, as I said previously, I would have cut Escobar loose 1 minute after I became aware of what had gone on. No 3-game suspension. That's it. You're gone. Get out of here. This is the Toronto Blue Jays. This is how we do things. You don't get a second chance. You want to be an a-hole, you be an a-hole somewhere else. You're not going to do it here. John Farrell, same situation. You don't want to be here? Well, guess what? We don't want you either. But we're not letting you go to the Boston Red Sox. We're going to wait till they get a manager, then we're going to fire your ass, and you'll be out of a job. And the message it sends is simply this. We're serious. We have credibility. We want people who want to be here, but we want people who want to win too. And if you mess with us, we'll mess with you back. We aren't going to bend over and let you do whatever it is you want to do. Bring in Ozzie Guillen. Joe in Oakville, hello.
Bob, I can't understand why Boston would want a coach like this. I mean, it started in the beginning of the season when the players just went crazy. You had Batista screaming at every strike. He had no balls to bench him. The base running errors, everything went wrong. I mean, I just to get
well. Wait, I can answer. Want me to answer the question? Why would Boston Red Sox want him?
Why?
Look at the Boston Red Sox. Is there a more screwed up organization in all of baseball than the Boston Red Sox?
But they're the Boston Red Sox. It's New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox. You would think
so. What? I don't buy that crap.
They're a mess.
The Boston Red Sox finished last in the East. Even the sad sack Toronto Blue Jays beat them. The Red Sox have no nucleus left and probably won't be a contender for as long as, well, for some considerable period of time.
I understand, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of managers would love still to coach for the Red Sox. They had more options than John Farrell. I mean, John Farrell, the first half of the year, the Jays had a chance. They had a great team.
Yeah, let me tell you about managers.
Asylum.
Let me tell you about managers. Managers who are unemployed will take any job. There is a truism. Coaches and managers are professional sports franchises. If you ain't working, you aren't saying no just because it might not be your first choice. Now, I like Boston as well as the next guy. I almost took a job in Boston, almost moved there. So I got nothing against Boston. But this is not the perennial champion Boston Red Sox. This is not any longer the juggernaut Red Sox who, for the foreseeable future, are going to contend for the American League East Championship and the World Series. This team is a screwed up mess. John Farrell wants to manage him? Good for him. And good luck to him. Because based on what I saw here in Toronto, he'll have no more success than his predecessor did. Bill in Mississauga, hello.
Bob, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
I agree 120% with you. When you're in the workforce, respect is far more important than being liked. If you're respected, maybe somebody will get around to liking you eventually. And I believe the young Antopoulos is an apprentice that still has to learn how to play hardball. And his boss, Mr. Beeston, I think is a good old boy that likes to please everybody. They should have fired that guy that wrote on his face, and they should have done exactly the foul what you said. You're not going. They've wasted more money over the years than they would have on those two people. But they would have gained some respect for their team and this city.
I'm with you. I think a decision ultimately to not let Farrell go to Boston and then fire him would not have met with any negative impact in the marketplace. None. I think there would have been people out there would have said, well, we really didn't know what Farrell was, whether he was good, bad, or indifferent. And that would have been fair. But negative response? None. Zero. To stand up and say, we have principles. We will not be told by an employee how to run our business. Or we respect what John Farrell wants, but we don't care what John Farrell wants. And we're not giving him to the Boston Red Sox. Just on principle. It doesn't matter whether you thought he was any good or not. And the fact that you didn't think he was that good makes this whole thing even worse. What would have been the downside of dumping this guy? I get you don't want to bring him back if he doesn't want to be here. I get that. But when he comes to you and says, I really would like to have a shot at the Boston Red Sox job. I mean, that makes my decision for me. That's the easiest decision in the world. Oh, really? Well, how about this, pal? You work for the Toronto Blue Jays, not the other way around. This is not the International League. We are not the farm system of the Boston Red Sox. You don't get to do what you want. And we aren't going to take some crumbs that the Boston Red Sox throw us as compensation. It's a joke. Chris Kitchener, hello.
Hi, Bob. I have a comment and a question. First off, I don't have a problem with Farrell leaving. I think he was doing an average job at best, and I'd be happy with a new manager. But I am absolutely disgusted with the perception the Jays put out with how they handled this situation.
Exactly.
And I look forward to how, when you have Mr. Beeston on the air, I'd love for you to ask him the same questions and get an answer from him.
Well, we'll do our best as soon as we can.
And moving forward, my question to you is that player like Tim Lincecum, somebody that if you're with the Jays, you'd roll the dice on and hope he gets his form back and trade for him in the offseason?
It's a dangerous hire because of this. You know, on one hand, I don't care about money. On the other hand, I'm a realist enough to understand that what does Lincecum make, 20? Give or take? 18? Something like that? That is a tangible amount of money, and it means you may be putting a lot of your eggs in that one basket. In other words, we can get Lincecum for 18, or we could get somebody else that we think might be better for 15, or we could get two guys who might be better combined for 9 each. That's the kind of math, unfortunately, you probably have to do. So, in principle, I'm in favor of giving Lincecum a shot. Or taking a shot at him. The dilemma I face is the Blue Jays are more than one pitcher away. They don't solve their problems by getting Tim Lincecum. They may not solve any of their problems with Tim Lincecum if he's as crappy as he was this past year. I think that explains it pretty much. So if pressed, my response would be only if you're really, if you're going to bump the budget by $50 million, 5-0, and 18's going to Lincecum and you still have 32 to spend on other guys, yeah, I'm all right with that. But those are the numbers I want to see. $22 million? Oof, wow. Just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? That's rolling the dice. That's a lot of eggs. The New York Yankees can make that kind of move, you know? If you're going to have a $200 million payroll, $22 million it's a lot, but it's not crazy. I mean, you can't, Blue Jays, what, $80-something million dollars this year? You can't put 22 in Lincecum. So you'd have to, what do you have to go to? 130, 140? Like minimum 130, 140 in order to be able to put Lincecum in there? That's the problem. And I don't, at this point, there's no evidence that they're going to be anywhere near that number. 20 minutes before the hour, take the break and come back with more of your phone calls. This is Prime Time on The Fan.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And, like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today. Brady and Lang in the morning. Tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 9. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Max in Toronto, you're next on The Fan. Hi.
How's it going, Bob?
I'm well.
I just had a comment about the Toronto Blue Jays' whole organization in general. You know, I've really just started paying attention to baseball now since hockey's gone. And I was looking at the whole Escobar situation and how they only handed out a 3-game suspension to him. And now John Farrell just asking to leave and his wish being granted. And I think it comes down to a fully business standpoint where you need to look at the Blue Jays and think despite that Alex Anthopoulos may be a good guy, I really don't know all that much about him. I think that he needs to be replaced with somebody that knows how to run a business, because John Farrell just asking to walk, it aggravates me, because you don't do that in a business. You really don't. You know, I agree fully with the point that they should have waited and held on to him and then fired him once the Red Sox found their manager and then left him hanging and said, here, look, you don't want to be here? There you go. You know?
The only mitigating factor in I respect your opinion. The only mitigating factor there is Anthopoulos indicated to us twice during our conversation yesterday that essentially the deal between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, the agreement to let Farrell go to the Red Sox, was made not by Alex Anthopoulos, but by Paul Beeston in concert with the president and ownership of the Boston Red Sox. And that, in essence, Alex was ordered to execute the deal. If true, this is Anthopoulos telling us this yesterday, if true, then it's difficult to direct your anger at Alex Anthopoulos. I don't sit here saying I know what happened, but I know what Anthopoulos told us. And if true, this wasn't AA acting. And that might mitigate how you feel about him going forward. And look, I like him very much. I like a lot of things about him. But like anybody else in a job of that profile, jury's still out. Ultimately, you have to produce. So far, not so much. Tom Waterloo, hello.
How you doing?
Hi.
Bob, something that was said at the press conference, he's mentioned a 10-day gap when nobody was saying anything. And if you punch the calendar, okay, let's say 1920, for a date, go back 10, you're at 9, 8 or 9, whatever. Did they have their year-end meet is what I'm very curious about to discuss 13. Do you know?
I made to understand that John Farrell was a party to some of the postseason conversations that took place regarding the future. To what extent or what meetings he may have been in or been excluded from is, to me, unclear right now. I just don't know yet. That is something we are trying to ascertain. As soon as we know absolutely, it's something you don't really want to speculate on because it implies something specific. It implies, perhaps, that there was a level of dishonesty in Farrell knowing he was wanting to go to Boston and still being a part of the Blue Jays situation. Even saying that, the notion that the Blue Jays were dispensing state secrets during their postseason meetings, which could be used by the Boston Red Sox to gain some sort of competitive advantage, I think is a bit of a stretch. I don't happen to think this is nuclear warfare. I don't think the Blue Jays have rockets aimed at Boston buried in undisclosed locations across the border of Canada and the United States. I'd be okay with it if they did, but I don't believe they do. Short of that, I can't imagine what's going to be said in a Blue Jay meeting that John Farrell is going to go down the road to Boston and say, guess what I know? Still, the whole thing pisses me off. More to come. Primetime continues on The Fan.